Hello and welcome. Woo! Welcome to the 2014 GABF, and more importantly, to one of the greatest places in the GABF, the Beer and Food Pavilion. Here you'll get to not only drink some amazing beers that aren't available on the festival floor, you'll get to pair them with amazing food. Here today to pair those and teach us something, hopefully, we have Dave Adams, who's Director of Beer Education for Green Flash Brewing Company, based on both the West and the East Coast now. He's also the National Director of Beer and Food Pairing for Green Flash. And we have Chef Jeff from Cholon Bistro. He's the chef de cuisine. I'll pass it over to them without further ado.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for having us, guys. Oh, that's kind of hot, huh? Maybe out here? Is that better? Is anybody on this microphone thing? All right. Huh? Yeah? Raise the roof? Do this? Okay. Cool. Well, thanks very much for coming. We're really excited to have you guys try some of the beer and some of the food that Jeff came up with. And then the pairing turned out really nice. Hopefully you guys enjoy the beer. So this beer that we have coming out to you right now is our Flanders Dry Ale. So quick story about that. About four and a half, five years ago or so, we were planning on moving to a new facility in San Diego. And I was working at a pub kind of down the road, and Chuck, the brewmaster, came and said, "Hey, Dave, we found this cool new building. It's in Mira Mesa. It's on Flanders Drive." And I said, "Well, you know what beer you got to make, right? It's got to be Flanders Red Ale." So they did, and they made it we made it as the last beer ever at our old location. And then it sat in Heaven Hill bourbon barrels for about a year. And then after that, we packaged it for our 10th anniversary beer in these cool wax dip bottles here. And that was the only time we ever made this beer. So this beer was a year in the barrels, over a year in the barrels, and then it's been about 2 years in the bottle, and now you get to have it. This is the only stuff that we have, so yeah, cheers. They told me to send something special, so I thought it was this was the only thing that we could do. So yeah, it's a really beautiful beer, deep red cherry notes to it, oaky notes. I think it's cool because the bourbon barrels have to be fresh charred American oak, right? So you have that big char around the outside, which acts as kind of a natural filter for the beer. And then we have those really deep cherry notes and the deep oaky notes to it, along with some lactic acid bacteria, some lactobacillus, pediococcus, and then a little wild yeast and some Brettanomyces. So you have that tartness from the lactobacillus and pediococcus, and then you have that nice little funk earth component, a little spice from the Brettanomyces, and the oak helps round everything out. Obviously, the aging in the bottle has done it nice as well, but really beautiful beer, probably one of my favorite beers that we've ever made as a brewery. So I got to pick a restaurant to do it with, and so I hit up the guys over at Cholon, and they said that they were interested in doing a beer and food pairing thing with me, which I was really excited about because they're one of my favorite restaurants in the country. You know, I travel around the country and eat at a bunch of different places all the time, and I always am stoked to come back here every year to eat at Lon and Jeff's place. So I was honored that they did it, and I'll hand it over to Jeff, and he could talk a little bit about the food that you're going to be receiving and maybe a little bit about the process, and yeah, we'll go from there. Cheers, guys.
Cool. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So super, super honored to be invited to do this with Dave and Green Flash, certainly one of my favorite breweries in the country. Can everybody hear me? I can't hear myself through the monitor. We good? Yeah, I mean, we're super stoked. Like, Green Flash is very exclusive. We struggle to even get them into our restaurant sometimes. We're not a massive beer bar. We don't have a lot of taps. So super cool to have you guys invite us to do this. And the beer is amazing, one of the best beers I've ever had. So very, very excited to be able to pair food with this. What we're going to pair with it, kind of playing off of what he said, is any vegetarians or dairy allergies in the crowd right now that I need to know about? Because this is not the dish for you. We got pork cheeks that we sous vide for about 36 hours. Berkshire pork sourced from Tenderbelly Pork, which is based out of Denver here. They source their pork from all around the country, but it's not very local, but they have a super high spec for the type of pig that they get. So we threw that into bags, sous vide it for about 36 hours to really get the collagen to break down, so it should be nice and succulent. Otherwise, obviously, a pig likes to eat a lot, uses its jaw quite a bit, so they could be tough, but they also get a good marbling. You just got to break it down with time. Then we're serving that on top of a celery root puree, which it's kind of got that earthiness. It's going to pair real well with the, you know, the Brettanomyces and kind of the funkiness in this beer. Same thing with the pork cheeks. They got a little bit of a funk to them. On top of that, it'll be just to kind of bring back the celery. We're going to have a little celery salad, some Asian pear for a little bit of sweetness, fresh, crisp, a citronette, just based black pepper, lime juice, Evio. That's it. So kind of just a play on the notes of the sour, the funky, the earthy, and you know, the beer is definitely, you guys are drinking it already, it's going to hold up real well to those pork cheeks. So I'm excited for you guys to get this pairing, and I think Dave's certainly the expert in the field of pairing food. Obviously his title's a hell of a lot cooler than mine, so I'll let him kind of go into some food pairing and beer pairing theory, and then we'll start to get the plates coming out, and then we can start to eat and drink the beer. So first round of beer is in front of you. We're going to pour a little more as the food comes out. We don't have a tremendous amount of this beer, so make sure you guys save some for the actual plate as well, but we have double that coming, so drink up.
Cheers. Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, so, right, and we were talking about beer and food pairing theory a little bit. I think that there's, you know, a lot of different directions that you can go with beer and food pairing, and there are some really kind of common things. How many people have been to a beer dinner in here or have, like, beer dinners locally all the time, you know? There's a million of them, right? You can go to, like, one a week if you wanted.
Now,
and
for sure.
I think what you find from that is that they end up being really watered down, and they aren't special anymore. So I think, you know, really taking the time to create the dishes and make that connection between the beer and the food in some way, shape, or form, in more ways than like pairing a stout with a chocolate brownie, right? Like, how many people is at all the beer dinners you've ever been to in your life? How many people have not had a stout with chocolate for dessert? Boom. Exactly. Yeah, one person in the whole room, right? So it's the same thing over and over. So we try to break the mold a little bit, try to buck the trend a little bit, and I think tying the flavors in the beer into the food in ways that the flavors maybe aren't necessarily directly from the beer. Like, you don't have to cook with the beer. You don't have to make a reduction sauce out of the beer. And what Jeff did with the celery root, bringing out the earthy notes in it. Another thing that I really like to do is bring out the pieces of the beer that not a lot of people are looking for. For example, when you're using stouts, everybody talks about chocolate and vanilla, right? Chocolate and coffee, rather. I like to bring out the vanilla in them because it's usually an underlying flavor, or like dark cherry notes or dark fruit characters, and those aren't things that people usually gravitate towards because it's obvious that the thing that's slamming you in the face with flavor is the chocolate and the coffee. So why don't we make it with a chocolate, coffee, you know, ganache, dessert, whatever, and then it's a yawn fest for, see, that guy's yawning. That's exactly how I feel about it. So, perfect. So, I think that really trying to take it to that next step, the next level of creating all the different little ties in the beer. So you really have to delve in, and you really have to, you know, use your nose and get everything that you can out of the beer to try to get pieces that maybe you wouldn't normally see. So it's really important to try to do that. The next thing that I think is super important, which I think gets probably messed up the most when I go out to beer dinners, is matching intensity. I think matching intensity is just paramount. There's a lot of times where you'll see a really light fish dish with a pretty heavy beer, like a double IPA or something, and it just annihilates the beer. Oh, look at that, we're first. So, it's coming around. And it just annihilates the food. So I think it's really important to be matching intensities and to make sure that you understand when you're eating like a ceviche that it can't be with a double IPA. It needs to be with a Saison or a Belgian Wit or something that is similarly intense. And trying foods beforehand as well is huge. I mean, a lot of times, and when I was talking about it, making them special and stuff, not only is it a really fun experience to be able to work with somebody that likes to work with you back, and there's a relationship there, and it becomes a great story to tell when you're, you know, talking at the dinners. And hopefully you guys notice that as customers, or probably some of you are, you know, have done beer dinners in your life as well. It makes for a much better presentation of the beer dinner, but also it really helps solidify the flavors and the plates and the beer and the pairings and everything, because what I see happen a lot is people will mail in the beers and just say, hey, Jeff, I would like to do a beer dinner with you, so I want to pick this beer, this beer, this beer, and this beer, and this beer, and there you go, make a menu, and then he sends a menu back, and I go, all right, great, let's do a dinner now. But instead, we could meet at the brewery, and we could try 30 beers and write notes about all of them, and then have kind of a direction. Oh, we want to do this dish, and like, oh, maybe we plug that beer in there. And it's a very fluid thing that I think gets overlooked, and it's also just a really fun experience, you know? Sure. If you have the opportunity to be able to work with someone that's a talented chef, you know, like Jeff is, and be able to talk and back and forth about flavors and ingredients and things like that, it just makes it a much better experience. And hopefully you guys will see that in the pairing as it's coming around, that when you try it, you'll be able to get the layers and the depth in it, that it's not, you know, it's not chocolate in a stout. It's a super complex, you know, deep beer with protein that's been cooked for an extremely long time with a, you know, awesome root puree. Like, there's so many components to it.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's a good thing to experiment. I mean, everybody's a little bit different. There are certain notes that you always want to hit on, but I think when pairing beer with food, you know, start with what you like, and there's no right or wrong answer necessarily. If you put it with it and you like it, then that's what you should serve. But at the same time, there's definitely a good amount of guidelines, I mean, coming from a guy like this, that you could follow to help you get to that point. Back to the intensity, I kind of did leave out that the pork cheeks are glazed with a tamarind glaze, which then again, tamarind gets its acidity. It's kind of a bean that grows on a tree. A lot of people think it's a fruit, but it's more of a bean, and it gets its acidity from malic acid again. So we're kind of playing, you know, it's going to be very intense on the sour. We countered it with a little bit of sweetness, but you know, back to pairing, I think it's important to kind of just experiment, see what you like, start with the beers you like, start with the food you like, and just have fun with it, you know, and see where it goes. That's the best way to learn it.
Yeah. So the people that have their food, I get, looks like several people do.
We're getting
How
there.
Are you guys feeling about it? Do you think that it's yummy? All right. A couple thumbs up. That's good.
Yes.
Sorry for all the people on this side that don't have it yet. We love you guys, and it'll come there very soon. Why don't we open up the floor to some Q&A as the food's coming out to everybody else. People have some questions about beer and food, or about beer, or about food, or about life, or about facial hair, or
Dr. Phil.
Exercising.
I think he needs a mic.
Or anybody? Do all brewers have beards? Yes, that is a scientific fact.
What is the worst food pairing you've tried?
What is the worst food pairing you've tried?
Oh, that's funny. It was pretty recently, actually. I don't know, I guess, how do I be politically correct about it? We make a bourbon barrel-aged, or a cedar plank barrel-aged barley wine that's ridiculous, like super complex, very, very intense, and it's a perfect example of how not to match intensities. They paired it with a granola fruit parfait for dessert, and that was the worst thing I've ever had. at least in any recent memory. Who else? Yes, the gentleman in the back in the fine t-shirt.
So give us a really good non-stout and chocolate dessert pairing.
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a bunch of different ways that you can go, especially seasonality. I'm sure you could talk about that as a chef. A lot of the chefs that I've worked with over the years, very focused on seasonal items. And like when you're in the summer, you want to keep it light and interesting. And, you know, in the winter and the fall time, it's maybe darker and heavier. So I've definitely used a lot of Belgian beers before, Belgian style tripels with maybe like an orange marmalade or orange segments or candied orange zest, you know, pound cake, things like that, little confectioner sugar, things that are light and refreshing and fruity with light and refreshing and fruity beers, but they can still be relatively high in intensity, especially with those Belgian-style beers. Like you have a Belgian-style Tripel that's, you know, those are like 9 to 10% range. They're still, they have that intensity in alcohol. And when we talk about intensity, we're talking about ABV and bitterness, really, and like probably viscosity a little bit, but that's usually what we're talking about. So if you have a 10% beer, it's just going to have a certain intensity to it, right, regardless of what style. But because of the relative lightness with a Belgian-style Tripel, there's lots of fun fruity elements that you can add in there, you know, to make it interesting. So that's one that I really enjoy a lot. I don't know. I'll think of some more off the top of my head in a second. Did you want to talk about some seasonality stuff a little bit, desserts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, obviously some of the pilsners and lagers are going to be more summertime, and we're blessed with, like, fresher fruits, like our berries coming in the summertime, and I think berries and pilsners and most light lagers come in to play really good then. It just kind of seems to be a natural progression of where we see the beers. I mean, I'm not a brewer, but I'm sure the brewers base it towards that, but as we get into the winter times, you know, the beers, they deepen up, and so do our fruits. You know, as the summer starts to come to an end, we start running into the stone fruits, and then you see people start to stew the stone fruits. You get into the preserved stone fruits, and then come in some of the heavier ales, and then we get into, you know, I typically see, you know, obviously the Oktoberfest and the heavier lagers come in, the bigger bodied lagers. But I mean, yeah, I think beer and food kind of, I'm assuming that brewers have designed it that way to kind of just basically what is available to them, just like chefs, we design what's available to us. But it's interesting to me how the beers just kind of naturally pair with what we have to do with food as the seasons progress. As pairings, you know, I'll leave that to Dave. That's definitely his expertise. I don't want to be pissing in the wind here on that. But I came to cook the food, guys. This guy's the expert.
And you know, one that I thought of while Jeff was talking is sour beers are a great example of something that's very intense and very complex that you can do with lots of different desserts. You know, doing a like tart cherry reduction sauce out of this is a great component to add to a dessert that you could pair it with that. And Jeff was talking a little bit earlier, which is really important, is the balance of flavors. Balancing acidity with sweetness is very, very important. And another thing that I was thinking about was the effervescence of the beer can greatly change the intensity level. So where you could have a 9% beer that's very high in effervescence, and it can seem a lot lighter and easier drinking on the mouth because of all those bubbles going on in there, as to where you could have a similarly, you know, a barley wine, a stout, something very heavy and rich that's a little lower in carbonation, it's going to seem much more intense than its counterpart that is much more effervescence.
Hi. What would you recommend to pair with duck?
Oh, that's a great question. What do I recommend to pair with duck? So duck has a lot of like, you could, well, it depends on how you cook it as well. And that's another thing that, yeah, there's all different kinds of cuts. There's all different types of preparations. So it's important to understand when we're talking about pairings. Like I get asked all the time, hey, what, you know, what's a good chicken pairing? What's a good beef pairing? What's a good duck pairing? And the problem is that it has to be a little more specific to be able to pick exactly what it is. Because if you're like roasting duck, for example, it would be different than if you're braising duck, than if you're barbecuing duck. Then, you know, there's a whole bunch of different methods of cooking which change the complexity of the meat. Like for example, when you're if you get a nice caramelization on the outside of the duck, and then it's a nice rare, medium rare on the inside, you have a little bit of gaminess still in there, and then you have all those wonderful caramely flavors on the outside. It goes great with all kinds of different caramely caramelized malt beers. So like your intense red ales and amber ales, imperial red ales, depending on what accoutrements you have on the side as well. You can play with that depending on what beer it is. Like I use Hophead Red a lot for those because it's 8.1%, so it's very intense in alcohol. And it's got a high hop bitterness, which makes it a little tricky with a delicate meat like duck. But you can play with the side dishes to play with the hops, and then the caramelized characters that are part of the malt profile are just a home run with that style of duck.
Yep. If you picked four of the top styles of beers like pilsners, porters, and such, what cheese would you pair with those?
Oh, that's an awesome question. Man, I love cheese. Did you guys get to go to the cheese thing over there? That was super cool. Cheese and beer, one of my all-time favorite, things to do in my life in general. And so the famous cheese, their famous beer styles with cheeses. Let's see. So I'd say with IPAs, it depends on the bitterness level of the IPA and the intensity of the IPA. But if it's a very intense IPA, I generally lean towards Goudas that are very, greatly aged, like 14, 18 month Goudas. And the reason why is because they match that intensity level so well, and they have a good nuttiness to them, a lot of bitterness as well. And then if you get the really nice ones like a Unikas or something like that, then you get the crystals, the aging crystals in there, which are wonderful. So I think that's a really fun experience. The one of the most classic pairings ever is English barley wine with Stilton blue cheese. That's a super home run pairing. And I found over the years that if you want to do American barley wines, that Shropshire works really well because it's kind of like a blue cheddar blend. So you get some bitterness from the cheddar, but you still get those really funky and nutty characters out of the blue as well. So the hops play really well off that. The stouts, I use this ash rind goat cheese with the stouts because it had some smoky, roasty notes on the outside, but it was relatively light as far as the flavor profile goes and mouthfeel. And it was also a little bit tart, and so the intensity of the stout kind of washed that away. And the creaminess, that's another important thing about cheese and beer, is that beer has carbonation to it, so it acts as a natural palate cleanser for you. So it makes it really easy to be able to pair very aggressive, fatty cheeses really easily. Rayon Bear is one of my favorite beers. We had Orval before. It's really similar to Orval. That's a beer that we made a year and a half ago, and it's a Belgian pale ale with Brettanomyces, and that's cool beer because it's so high in carbonation. It's like 4.5 volumes of CO2, which is like double all the other beers that we make, so it's like super bubbly, like almost champagne-like effervescence. It can work on both sides of the scale because it's also a really dry beer, so you can do it with like a Parmigiano Reggiano, which works really well because it matches with the dryness, and then you can also do it with super funky, like there's a creamery in California called Cowgirl Creamery. They make a cheese called Red Hawk. He likes that one? Cool, yeah. Red Hawk. So it's their Mount Tam that they accidentally had a drip on it, and it got a bacterial infection on it. So it's a bacteria wash rind, like triple cream, basically. So it goes with either of those. Or like you can use a Poix or, just super funky ones if you want to. It's also really fun. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you for being here. I have a restaurant where I do a slow smoke beef brisket.
Yeah.
And I smoke it with birch wood.
Okay.
I'm curious what your input would be on pairing with beer.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's another one that depends on the side dishes as well, greatly. But the protein by itself, you're matching the intensity and the style. So the slow cooked style, you get a lot of those caramelized notes, really. So it, like I said, really it's tough to say without the sides, but you can do like in a couple different directions. You can go with an American style amber red ale, imperial red ale. You can also move over to the Belgian side of things. You can do a Belgian double. You're not Belgian. You don't look Belgian. Well, anyway, so those are some other options, but yeah, it's just really about match and intensity. So like, for example, you're going to put a big glaze over the top, like super reduction going on, yeah, some sauce on it. It changes the complexity of it, and it becomes much more intense as to where it's just the beef. Beef is not a very not a very intense protein. So like a lot of people think that it is, but it's actually not. Like when you're pairing steaks and things, I usually use American pale ales. And so when you're using beef brisket, it's not, don't be overwhelmed that just because of the aromas and, you know, the fattiness of it, that does make it slightly intense, but the actual flavor of the meat itself is not outrageously intense. So be careful. And if it's super smoked, then obviously you can go with something a little smoky as well. You could use something like a Schwarz beer, German black lager that has a little roast, a little smoke to it, but it's still relatively light in character. That's a good option. Yes.
You talked about pairing IPAs with some smoked Gouda.
Yeah.
Often it's difficult with a hoppy IPA like your West Coast IPA to pair it with with something for dinner. How would you pair like your West Coast IPA with a full dinner meal?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of different options. It is a very intense beer. I grew up in San Diego, so I like spicy stuff. You know, we grew up close to Mexico. There's a lot of great Mexican dishes that come over very intense on the spice level, and hops will blow up the spice. So just as a general rule of thumb, if you want to make spice more intense, you use a hoppy beer. If you want to subdue the spice level, you use a malty beer, something sweeter. So I enjoy the spice level, and because, especially since our recipe changed when West Coast IPA rather went from 7.3 to 8.1%, there's a little bit more alcohol intensity as well. So I think you have the advantage of being able to play off of both sides of that. So you can do something, like you can use something that kind of as a medium that's maybe not so intense, like a hamburger, like ground meat, like red snapper, something like that. But then all the things that you add on, like let's say you wanted to make a hamburger, like a big restaurant, awesome hamburger. So you can take that hamburger, which is not super exciting. Then you can throw caramelized onions on there. You can throw a super aged Gouda on top, and then maybe do a habanero popper on top of that, throw a skewer through it, and you got yourself an awesome pairing with West Coast IPA. You know, and same thing, Thai chili red snapper, really intense Thai peppers bring out that big spice level, and the malts in the beer on top of that helps subdue it. So you have like a duality going on, which I think is really neat. Hi.
Hi. So usually at brewmaster dinners, I see like a. Sorry. Usually I see that each course like increases in intensity. You talked a lot about intensity, but I'm just wondering. When you go from something like an IPA with a main course then to a delicate dessert, is that just a no-go, or is there a way to transition to that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I always like to try, if I can, to move up in intensity. I find it to be really important. But, you know, Mike's question and what Jeff and I were talking about is that sometimes seasonality plays a role, and it's okay to take a step back if you go in kind of a different direction. But you don't want to get there too early, and that's what it'll lead you to. Like if you start off with a Saison or a Pilsner, and then you move to like a double IPA, well, then you got to go to like a barley wine, and then you got to go to like a bourbon barrel aged stout or something, right? And it just gets a little out of hand. So yeah, taking that change up. So you definitely have to take it in consideration and try to go with a different style. So like, for example, if I use West Coast or Double Stout or Hophead as a main course, which I think is those all work fine for main courses, then I usually go in the Belgian direction by using, like we have a beer called Special Cuvée Triple. That's a Belgian triple with coriander and ginger. So there's a lot of cool spices to play with, and it brings more a holiday character out. And because of the esters and the yeast from the Trappist yeast, it's got all those big banana and bubblegum kind of characters. So there's a lot of different fun lighter offerings that you can go there. And it is still an intense beer, but it's comparably much lighter. Like if you had the two beers next to each other, you'd be like, oh, this is really easy drinking, even though it's higher in alcohol. So, you know, just take that. And does that answer the question? Okay, cool.
Our half hour has flown by.
All right.
So on behalf of the Brewers Association, let me thank Dave from Green Flash, Chef Jeff from Cholon. I think that was an amazing session. Thanks, guys. Cool.